Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. It's now.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're here to help you cut through the noise on complex topics, get you informed fast. Today, we're unpacking a really fascinating and frankly concerning example of modern cyber threats, the Hydernex Group.
Yeah, and what's really striking about Hydernex, for you listening, is that it's not just about the digital attacks, you know?
Yeah.
It's this intricate mix of technical skill and, well, psychological manipulation.
Exactly.
And this deep dive is actually presented by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau, their division of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory.
Right, and they have a unique approach.
They really do. They combine OSINT, that's open source intelligence, with human intelligence evidence.
Yeah.
And that lets them go beyond just the code. They look into the emotional, the intelligence, cognitive, even the geopolitical side of these cyber threats.
Which is precisely why this group is so compelling to look at. So for you, our listener, we're going not just into what Hydernex does, but maybe more importantly, how they use human psychology, global tensions to get what they want. We'll look at their origins, their methods, and even some pretty chilling future scenarios the Cyber Intelligence Bureau has reported.
Okay.
So first up, who is Hydernex? The Bureau's analysis points to them, also known as Tunisian Maskers Cyber Force, popping up publicly around mid-2025. Significant activity started that July.
And the probable origin seems to be Tunisia. They really came onto the scene responding to regional geopolitical stuff, specifically tensions with Morocco. They're also very strong supporters of pro-Palestinian causes. Now, there's no like clear proof of Russian leadership, but their public alliances, you know, with groups like Anonymous Russia, KGB, especially on X, formerly Twitter, well, it suggests maybe some influence or at least collaboration.
That raises a big question, doesn't it? How do those alliances actually shape what they do? Is it resources or just noise?
It's likely a bit of both. But the amplification part is huge. It gives them credibility, a wider reach, which is, you know, vital for hacktivist groups. And that feeds right into their main strategy, this hack and link approach.
Hack and link. So break that down.
Right. They combine DDoS attacks, distributed denial of service to disrupt systems, knock things offline.
Chaos.
Yeah, chaos. And then they follow up with data breaches to expose sensitive info. So they hit you twice. Disruption, then exposure.
And who are they aiming this at?
Well, their geopolitics guides them. They target government, financial sectors, education, telecoms. The goal seems pretty clear. Counter Moroccan influence, push back against nations supporting Israel. So we've seen hits in Morocco, France, the U.S., Israel.
Any specific examples?
Correct. Attacks on big banks like BNP Paribas, BMCI. Telecoms like Orange Tunisia have also been targeted.
Okay, so the Bureau calls them a decentralized hacktivist collective. How do they even coordinate being decentralized, and what tools are they using?
It's actually pretty effective coordination. They use platforms like X and Telegram heavily for propaganda, amplifying their anti-Moroccan, pro-Palestinian messages. Toolkit-wise, it's diverse. DDoS capabilities, sure, but also advanced stuff like VIP RIT 7.6 for data breaches, often used together in those hack and leak campaigns.
And the funding.
Likely anonymous crypto donations, plus readily available cyber tools, probably from underground markets.
Okay, so that's the who and the what. But like you said, it's not just technical. This is where it gets really unsettling, right? The psychological angle.
Exactly. This is where the Bureau's emotional intelligence, cognitive analysis really shines. It shows how Hydernex systematically exploits human psychology.
How so?
Take social media framing. They use platforms like X very skillfully to push pro-Palestinian messages, but also to intimidate victims by publicizing attacks, gloating almost.
Right.
This draws in recruits who agree with them, and it strengthens their alliances through these, you know, viral calls for support, building a narrative.
And the DDoS attacks aren't just technical disruptions either.
No, that's the cognitive overload via disruptions tactic. It's designed to cause confusion, decision fatigue, exploit that mental exhaustion.
Make people feel overwhelmed.
Precisely. It also lets them claim wins, which appeals to people frustrated with the status quo and builds alliances based on this perceived, like, tactical cleverness.
And they play on emotions directly, too.
Oh, absolutely. Emotional gaslighting. They use loaded rhetoric, maybe references to child victims, things like that, to make targets question their own morality, create self-doubt. They frame complex conflicts as simple black and white issues, good versus evil. That makes it easier for recruits to connect emotionally and justify the actions.
Wow. That simplification makes it very potent.
Very. And that feeds into ideological indoctrination. Hashtags like #FreePalestine aren't just tags. they embed subtle cognitive biases, slowly reshaping how people see the world to align with the group's view. The Bureau calls it building alliances through collective delusion. A shared narrative becomes the unquestioned truth within their circle.
So they target individual minds, but also the group dynamic.
Definitely. That's alliance echo chambers. When they announce partnerships publicly, it creates this illusion of massive support.
Makes victims feel isolated.
Exactly. Intellectually pressures them, makes them feel powerless. And recruits join seeking validation, strengthening those echo chambers where beliefs just bounce off each other.
It's really tapping into fundamental human psychology. The Bureau digs deeper into specific principles too, right?
Yes, like moral disengagement, based on Bandura's work. This allows supporters to see cyber attacks not as crimes, but as righteous acts defending Palestine. Targets become villains deserving disruption. It eases guilt.
And fear.
Fear priming. Threatening leaks, like against French infrastructure. That's classic fear priming. Ugh. Scares targets into compliance or panic. Research shows this recruits followers looking for control and makes victims doubt their own security.
Then there's the selective information sharing.
Right. Selective exposure bias. They leak only partial data from breaches. Carefully curated info to make targets question their entire system's integrity.
So doubt.
Offer exclusive peeks to recruits. Sway allies with these curated truths. Very manipulative.
And inside their own groups.
Groupthink. On Telegram, for instance, pushing conformity to the anti-Western agenda, suppressing dissent, strengthens the alliance, pressures victims through this perceived unified front.
They also use classic persuasion techniques.
Yeah, like commitment and consistency, drawing from Cialdini, maybe offering protection if a target complies. Creates a false sense of obligation, traps victims.
And finally, exploiting confusion.
Cognitive dissonance. Spreading conflicting messages about events. It confuses targets, makes them doubt their own understanding. People hate that feeling, so they latch onto Hydernex's narrative as a way out of the confusion.
Okay, so with all this insight, the Cyber Intelligence Bureau has some hypotheses about where Hydernex goes next. Let's talk about the most likely hypothesis.
Right. The Bureau thinks they'll likely focus on European nations, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, especially those with strong EU ties to Israel. It's symbolic and disruptive. They'll probably use OSINT to find weak spots in ODIC systems, operational technology, industrial control systems, utilities, transport, looking for outdated SCADA systems.
And allies like anonymous Russia could help.
Potentially provide crucial intel, yeah. Help coordinate bigger multi-country strikes.
What attack methods would we expect?
Could be phishing or supply chain attacks to get malware, maybe custom RTs into those ICS environments, maybe exploiting zero days. And probably hybrid tactics ransomware plus DDoS, lock systems down while overwhelming the defenders. Very hard to counter.
The potential impact sounds severe.
It is. Think widespread blackouts, train delays, billions in economic losses, public panic, regulatory pressure, maybe even forcing policy changes.
Plus eroding trust in critical infrastructure long term.
And inspiring copycats. That's the likely path. But then there's the most dangerous hypothesis.
Okay, what's the nightmare scenario?
This involves a really coordinated ransomware attack hitting Otis's systems across multiple countries at once, crippling operations, shutting down factories, power grids in real time.
Mm.
Allies like anonymous Russia would amplify the chaos.
Mm.
Maximum disruption.
Terrifying. Main targets.
Critical stuff. Energy grids, maybe in Germany, transport hubs, ports in France, interconnected EU infrastructure for cascade effects. They'd look for easy targets. Weak cybersecurity.
How would they do it?
Probably start simple. Phishing emails, tricking employees, install malware, lock systems, demand ransom. Could use simple tools to spread it rapidly, and if the ransom isn't paid, leak stolen data to maximize embarrassment and pressure.
The consequences, just staggering. Billions lost, production halted, supply chains broken, public panic, market drops, huge fines.
A massive geopolitical fallout. Major push for EU-wide cyber defense reforms. It really underscores the need for robust security.
So wrapping this up, what really stands out to you from this deep dive? It's clear Hydernex is about more than just code.
Absolutely. This analysis from the Cyber Intelligence Bureau just hammers home that understanding cyber threats means understanding the human element, the emotions, the cognitive biases, the politics driving these groups. We have to look beyond the technical, get into the strategic, the psychological.
Yeah, knowing how they manipulate perception seems just as crucial as knowing what malware they use. Our goal today was really to give you that shortcut, make you aware of this multi-layered threat.
And it leaves us with a pretty important question, doesn't it? If attackers are weaponizing psychology this effectively, How well are we, on the defense side, actually integrating psychological defense into our strategies? Beyond firewalls and antivirus, are we prepared for the mental game?
Definitely something to think about as you navigate your own digital life. Until our next deep dive, stay curious and stay informed.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.